Welcome back to Awakened Exchanges. I'm your host, Jay Rich, and you're listening to my second episode in the series, Deconstructing the Great Awakening Map. This is going to be another solo episode, so no real exchange, except the one going on between you and I, of course. That said, I'm truly grateful to be here speaking with you today as we take a deep dive on this strange and compelling web artifact. I am, as always, on the lookout for other interesting topics and guests, so please feel free to email me from our website or contact me on Twitter at Awaken Exchanges. I'll keep bringing you the content that you ask for and just hope you keep asking. I'm very grateful that you seem to have enjoyed that last episode. The response was better than I expected, by far. This episode has the most links that I'm going to provide up to this point, so I hope you stop by and take a look at the show notes on the website. For this episode, we'll be focusing on the Great Solar Flash and the Optimal Timeline Reality concepts. You can still find a copy of the high-res map in our show notes, and that's available on the website at www.awakenedexchanges.com. And remember, if you go search the online archives, you're going to find a number of images out there, as the map was revised and updated a number of times since it was first released. The one on my website is the one that I'm referencing in this week's episode. As I said last week, though, no matter which version of the map that you're talking about, I don't believe that it was intentionally created to promote hatred or misinformation. But you're going to have to be able to actually look at it with a little guile. And let's try not to focus on deplatforming these people or ideas, but rather on discussing them logically and as deeply as people need to in order to process the facts and separate them from the possible or the fictional. So remember, even Alex Jones has denounced QAnon at this point, and none of their so-called predictions have come true. So let's keep that in mind when we decide how to weigh the conspiracy theories. I'll try to keep the intro brief today, but I want to mention my Twitter account and the current pinned thread. The response was much quicker than I anticipated last time, and I think that people are liking the threads. Since I also think that the visuals are helpful, I've decided to collect them on a Telegram channel in case you wanted to check them all out. I know that Clubhouse is the current craze, but it doesn't seem like the medium to share this kind of stuff on. You can still find all of my threads in my Twitter feed, but I'll be open for exchanges with all of you via my Telegram channel. The link is in the show notes as well as on the website, and I hope to see you there. Before we get to the conspiracies today, here's a brief rundown of our sponsors. As always, I want to thank all of you personally for your support. Just listening and sharing this podcast with your friends gives me a reason to keep providing the best content possible. If you have the means and would like to contribute personally, please take a look at our Patreon page, where you will get access to exclusive content and deals. There are already bonus videos available, and more are on the way. As for our other sponsors, Awaken Vapes was the first of the Awaken brands, and has been helping you modulate your high with CBD-only, high-terpene vape products since 2019. Genesis Farms has been making the highest quality medicinal RSO, among many other fantastic products, starting with the medical community back before 2010. And last but not least, the Caramel Corn Company, bringing you caramel corn the way it was meant to be. And remember, if you enjoy this podcast, please follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on YouTube, or follow us wherever else you're listening. And if you can, leave a review or a comment on Apple Podcasts. It really does help spread the word. You can also support us on Patreon or connect with us on the social media of your choice. We are at Awakened Exchanges on Facebook and Instagram, and at Awaken Exchanges on Twitter. All right, now, stay tuned, and thank you for listening to Awakened Exchanges. Genesis Farms was founded on the belief in cannabis's ability to heal. Genesis Farms is more than a brand. They're a compassionate community of like-minded folks that generate top-quality cannabis products made with love and care.
Community outreach is always on their mind, and their partnerships with Grow for Vets and Parents for Pot was just the beginning of what they hope to accomplish in the coming years. You can find their products on the best dispensary shelves across the state of Oregon. Their RSO is the most consistent quality in the state. Their tinctures are second to none, and their personal massage oil will have you and your partner coming back for more. Find them on Facebook and Instagram and ask for them in your local dispensary today. Don't forget to listen to Sean's interview right here on Awakened Exchanges. It's episode number 3. The Caramel Corn Company is bringing you caramel corn the way it was meant to be. Made with premium ingredients in small, handcrafted batches and completely gluten-free. Their flavors include original, roasted cashew, salted almond, mixed nut, spicy sriracha, white morsel macadamia, peanut butter, butterscotch, and my personal favorites, chocolate drizzle and raspberry caramel apple. I can't say enough about how delicious this caramel corn is. It makes a great gift any time of the year. You can find them for sale in Portland area market of choice locations, and hopefully again online soon when they get stocked back up. Please visit www.caramelcorncompany.com for more information today. And remember, buying local supports small businesses and keeps your money building your community. Last but not least, Awakened Vapes has been bringing you some of the highest quality CBD vapes since ringing in the new year of 2019. I became passionate about cannabis after a car wreck left me with major migraines, and no prescribed pills helped alleviate the symptoms. Having only tried cannabis a handful of times in high school and college, it was a doctor's recommendation that led me to give it another try. Only then did I realize that we'd all been at least a little misled about the health benefits of this amazing plant. Despite an unexpected break because of the vape ban, and then a global health crisis with COVID, the business is stronger than ever, and we invite you to check out our updated website today. We are still offering our 3 varieties with new and improved terpene formulations for enhanced flavor to go along with the custom blended effect profiles. Check back at www.awakenedvapes.com for any updates, and you can always email us about wholesaling or white labeling opportunities.
We're back. Thank you for joining me on this special edition of Awakened Exchanges. Now that you've learned a little bit about the map and some of its initial secrets in part one, it's time to look into the great solar flash. So please feel free to view the last high-res version. It's linked in the story notes on my website. The new thread should be up on Twitter as well, so check it out there, or catch the abbreviated version on Instagram for any added visuals. Our first stop today is near the top and in the center of the map, where your attention is drawn by some of the largest font, where it reads, Great Solar Flash. I guess that means that we should talk about solar flares first. Giving the Wikipedia definition, a solar flare is a sudden flash of increased brightness on the sun, usually observed near its surface and in close proximity to a sunspot group. Powerful flares are often, but not always, accompanied by a coronal mass ejection. And what is a coronal mass ejection, or CME? Well, that's when the sun releases a significant amount of plasma and an accompanying embedded amount of magnetic field from the solar corona. These CMEs often follow solar flares, and the plasma is released into the solar wind, and then we can observe those effects in chronograph imagery. So, what does that mean for all of us? Well, solar flares have been known to affect electronic communication as their energy stirs up the Earth's upper atmosphere. It makes radio broadcasts noisy and weak. It can mess with GPS systems, causing them to be off by several yards, and they're partially responsible for the polar lights or aurora borealis. The closest thing that we've ever recorded to a great solar flash was probably the Carrington event, which peaked on September 1st and 2nd of 1859. Sunspots started to appear on the sun on August 28th, 1859, and bright, variable sky colors were observed and subsequently reported in various newspapers around the New England area. On August 29th, southern auroras were observed as far north as Queensland, Australia, significantly farther north than what is caused by a normal solar flare. So, just before noon on September 1st, two amateur English astronomers, Richard Carrington and Richard Hodgson, independently recorded the earliest observation of a solar flare. Those are a couple of amazing dicks, right? All right, bad joke. But the flare was associated with a huge CME that was traveling directly towards Earth. It took a little over 17 and a half hours for it to reach us, but when it did, all hell broke loose. It brought, and I'm quoting from the always amazing Wikipedia resource, one of the largest geomagnetic storms ever. Auroras were seen around the world. Those in the northern hemisphere were seen as far south as the Caribbean. Those over the Rocky Mountains in the U.S. were so bright that the glow woke the gold miners, who began preparing breakfast because they thought it was morning. People in the northeastern United States could read newspaper by the aurora's light. It was visible from the poles to low-latitude areas such as south-central Mexico, Queensland, Australia, Cuba, Hawaii, southern Japan, and China, and even at lower latitudes very close to the equator, such as in Colombia. The telegraph system, some of our earliest electronic communications, went haywire as well. Telegraph systems all over Europe and North America failed, in some cases, giving telegraph operators electric shocks. Telegraph pylons threw sparks. Some telegraph operators could continue to send and receive messages despite having disconnected their power supplies. And what's surprising is that we've had quite a few other events like this. In fact, on July 23rd, 2012, a Carrington-class solar superstorm was observed. A superstorm means that it had a visible solar flare, coronal mass ejection, and a solar EMP. Fortunately, its trajectory narrowly missed us here on Earth. Because of that near miss, Lloyd's of London decided to do an analysis of what could have happened. What did they find? A direct hit likely would have caused between 0.6 and 2.6 trillion, that's with a T, dollars in damage to the United States alone. It would cause widespread, if not global, electrical disruptions, blackouts, and damages to electrical grids. Television signals from satellites would be majorly disrupted, and satellites too would experience disruptions to radio frequency communications, crippling GPS navigation. Planes flying over the oceans would likely experience navigation errors and communications blackouts as a result of the disrupted satellite networks. On the ground, in less severe areas, you might get power back in a week. In others, it could be a year or more. The northeastern United States would be devastated. And that's only a small taste of it. And we don't know how people would respond in that kind of a situation. It is a scary thought, but it is a threat that is likely coming for us, whether that means a decade or a century or 1,000 years from now. That's the unknown part. Now, I can understand some of the reasons why we should be cautious, but let's get into what the map says. I quote, "Prepare for solar flashes." And it goes on to say that the great solar flash will begin the activation towards our spiritual light body ascension. It also says that the series of flash events will act as a trigger for full disclosure and the Great Awakening. Thanks to the COVID relief bill, the so-called full disclosure is actually currently scheduled for Friday, June 25th, 2021, at least by the CIA. While I don't know if they've also scheduled the solar flares for the day or so before that, I can't wait, even if I'm doomed to be disappointed that Friday when all we hear is crickets. But the map implies that the flashes started in 2019, actually, and will continue through 2023 or 2024. It also says that these flashes occur every 25,900 years. If you do a quick search on that number, or if you're just familiar with it from astrology or astronomy, you'll quickly recognize that that's the approximate time it takes for one precession of the equinoxes. A precession of the equinoxes is also known as a great year. There are a lot of myths surrounding the great year, but that's a completely different podcast and a whole nother rabbit hole to go down another day. Let's get into what the map says about our sun, though, and the part that it plays in our solar system and universe as a whole. The map states that our sun has a name, and Sol is that name. S-O-L, Sol. Sol is a conscious living being. Sol produces bacteria and ejects it into space via solar flares, thus filling the vacuum of space with bacteria and DNA, which is how we got the seeds of life here on Earth in the first place. Sol is connected to the cosmic web, which is kind of like a Stargate portal to other solar systems. This cosmic web portal system connects Sol to every other star in the universe via, quote, filaments in this web. Sol knows the threat that the nanite AI poses, since Sol is conscious after all, and since that threat is so great to our solar system, it's gearing up for the great solar flash. Much like the Carrington event, Sol is going to emit a great solar flare. Think of it like a electromagnetic pulse, or EMP. That EMP will then eliminate the nanite threat for the next 1,000 years in our solar system, at least. But what about life on Earth? Well, the map lays it all out for you, right there. Just read it. Survivors of the great solar flash will depend on our individual and collective mental and spiritual states. In order to best ensure survival, or at least survival for as many people as possible, we need to practice meditation. We need to practice compassion and forgiveness for all beings, and be of service to others rather than serving yourself. Through this, you can help us get onto the optimal timeline reality. The map claims that this has been prophesized in every major religion, which I think is a bit of a stretch, but most do have some apocalyptic imagery. Again, I think that's a whole other podcast, but since the map mentions these few specifically, let's go through a few. Please forgive any mispronunciations. I am doing my best. The Hindus talk about the Samvartaka fire, the period we are supposed to be entering now. This period precedes a 10,000-year golden age, but it begins when the activity of Surya, Sanskrit for sun, becomes very strong and causes a number of catastrophic events, including volcanic eruptions throughout the globe, massive continental changes where some huge areas sink below the ocean and others rise up, and X-class solar flares that impact the Earth. This is all according to the Sri Vyuha and their website at www.srivyuha.org, which is srivyuha.org. It does sound like a fairly accurate description of solar flares, but it includes potential consequences that are a bit beyond the scope of what a solar flare alone could cause, at least as far as my knowledge and research went anyway. But we are talking about biblical-style cataclysm and apocalypse here, so I suppose maybe the sun is just the catalyst. I don't know. That's prophecy and speculation, right? So let's move on to the next one, which is Fra Shokreti, and I really hope I got that somewhere near understandable. It is Fra Shokreti, Fra Shokreti, which is an Avestan term from the original Zoroastrian religious term based out in the Middle East, and it's considered to be their last judgment. It seems to literally mean to make existence splendid. And some say we're near, some say we're in a middle of a section, and that each three-part section is 100 years, and there's all this other stuff you can kind of dive into, but how could we really tell? There's really no way as far as I can know. So according to encyclopedia.com, if you look up the term Fra Shokreti, it says that it will be announced by positive signs, such as the abolition of meat as a food source for humans and its gradual replacement by an increasingly spiritual diet without milk, water, or plants. How could we not drink water or have plants? That takes it onto a chi level and some things where I'm just not really an authority to speak on of any sort. So I'm going to skip over that for today. And maybe you guys can write into me or tell me a little bit more about that if you want to have me share it here on the show. But while I don't know how we could live like that, it's also during this time that we're supposed to see the progressive fading of concupiscence and so forth. Real quickly, because I had to look this one up, concupiscence is the strong lust or sexual desire. So as that fades away, finally, after the resurrection of the body, and after a test by molten metal, through which all, both just and unjust, must pass. And let's stop there for a second. That means that everyone is going to go through something dealing with molten metal. That would match the volcanic eruptions mentioned above. Anyway, after that it says, there will take place a great eschatological sacrifice of a bull. Its fat mixed with the white haoma will make the drink of immortality for all of humankind. Well, it is the year of the bull or ox, and what's that sacrifice? Well, I don't know. Haoma is actually the root of the more familiar word soma, and there are many debates about what the original soma was, but interesting description of a similar end time from another religion. There are two more that are mentioned. The third in this line is ekpyrosis, which is ekpyrosis. That's ekpyrosis. According to Wikipedia, that's the ancient Greek Stoic belief in the periodic destruction of the cosmos by a great conflagration every great year. The cosmos is then recreated, a term known as palingenesis, only to be destroyed again at the end of the new cycle. This form of catastrophe is the opposite of cataclysmos, which is where we get cataclysm, or inundation, which was the destruction of the earth by water. The destruction of the universe in ekpyrosis was supposed to be in the form of fire. The time frame of the destruction was never really defined or given by any of the Stoics, but the fire destruction was to cleanse the universe. The cleansing of the universe was to help create a pure universe. The flames would destroy everything, and then everything would be rebuilt in exactly the same way in every detail before the fire. After so long, the process by fire would happen again and again. This cleansing of the universe is infinite. that really doesn't sound like a pleasant experience for humanity, but it could be wrapped in there with the solar flares and volcanic eruptions and or collapse of society. Very interesting and disturbing thoughts. The part about the flames destroying everything in the universe and then everything being built up exactly in the same detail as before really had me reminded of the theory of the heat death of the universe, and that it all basically would have the great contraction where it would come back to the Big Bang point and then repeat itself. It's a very interesting image to think about and to meditate on there. The last of the religious terms mentioned is Yuga fire. That's Y-U-G-A. The only thing that I can get from that is that it's a Hindu belief that we're at the end of the Kali Yuga. On Graham Hancock's website, there's an article from the author Bibhu Dev Misra called The End of the Kali Yuga in 2025. I've included a link in the show notes, but as the title implies, 2025 is the year that he is proposing when this yuga ends. That doesn't give us much time. He does give us a detailed breakdown of how he got to this proposed year, but it figures into the great year and the precession of the equinoxes as well. These cycles put the last golden age of Earth at around 12,500 BC, which is coincidentally when some, like Graham Hancock himself, proposed was the last reign of Atlantis before the next impact event wiped them out around 11,500 BC. Bibhu Dev Misra concludes with, and I quote, "The end of the Yuga will inevitably be followed by cataclysmic earth changes and civilization collapses, as is characteristic of the transitional periods. The Dwapara Yuga is fundamentally different from the Kali Yuga in its spiritual and material dimensions, as far as can be gleaned from the ancient texts. Hence, we may anticipate far-reaching changes in our environment, and possibly in our cosmic neighborhood, as we transition to this period of enhanced consciousness. The current upswing in tectonic activities and the increased incidence of extreme weather phenomena may be indicative of the fact that we are slowly entering a period of volatile earth changes. We need to be aware of these greater cycles of time that govern human civilization and the changes that are looming on the horizon." Honestly, I can't really do much to argue with the guy. He's done his homework and made a convincing argument in the end. All right, now that you've got all of that solar flash info, it should come in handy as we go through the optimal timeline reality. You can check out the optimal timeline or great solar flash map in our show notes as well. Their belief seems to be that we are using our collective consciousness to kind of guide our timeline down one of multiple, possibly infinite, realities that we are connected to. Let's break down the timeline that they call optimal. The first period actually was 2018 to 2020, otherwise known as already past and what was supposed to have happened. They say that this is the period of suffering and division, and they certainly seem to have gotten that part right. The last couple of years leading up to the election of 2020 were some of the most divisive in history. No matter what side of the political divide you fall on, you can agree that the divide is real. It does feel like there's a Cold War-style stalemate that is mostly prevailing since the Capitol riot on January 6th. And while I'm sorry that just wasn't Antifa, please watch the videos, look at the impeachment highlights, and hopefully all of us in the middle can at least realize that we need to come together before the fringes eat the country alive. The first period seems to be referred to as the Red Pill period. This is when time and events seem to speed up and timelines begin to merge and split in the multiverse. This takes us back into Mandela Effect territory, which we discussed a little more in previous episodes. These merging timelines have been subject to much speculation since the Mandela Effect first appeared on the scene in 2009, But it's during this red pill phase that Saul, our son, is supposed to be charging up to release the flashes that lead to the Great Awakening. As the sun is charging, the Schumann resonance is supposed to be increasing. And in case you don't know what that is, the Schumann resonance is defined as a set of spectrum peaks in the extremely low frequency, or ELF, portion of the Earth's electromagnetic field spectrum. They are global electromagnetic resonances generated and excited by lightning discharges in the cavity formed by Earth's surface and the ionosphere. If we are out of sync with Earth's surface, this Schumann resonance, we begin to exhibit signs of discomfort that can range from anxiety, insomnia, illness, suppressed immune system, etc. Conversely, we have discovered that when humans are in sync with the 7.83 hertz that we call the Schumann resonance, the body is able to heal and increase its vitality. Is there any actual evidence of this? Again, check out the show notes, but the National Institute of Health says that there actually is evidence that this frequency affects us. Now, is that resonance frequency rising? That's more of an active interpretation thing, but it doesn't seem like it. It definitely fluctuates, but it doesn't appear to be leaving that 7 to 8 hertz range. Okay, but even if the Schumann resonance is staying fairly even, we're supposed to be increasing our personal vibration and making truth the new voice of the world, ridding the world of lies so that lower vibrational evils can no longer exist, as the 5D energies apparently make it impossible for them to do so. As we increase our vibration, the world moves closer to peace every day. How does that fit with the QAnon stuff? Did they think that Trump was lying for the greater good? Was it just because all politicians lie and he had to do whatever it took to get to the cabal? What did Trump or any of the Republicans do about this, really? Other than Marjorie Taylor Greene, who just ran on the platform. But best case scenario, they ignored it. It sure seems like some kept poking the bear, though, and tried to instigate a near insurrection. Who knows? Trump has been acquitted. Things sure did get quiet after Trump was deplatformed. It's almost like someone shut off the methamphetamine drip that was Trump's Twitter feed. So, politicians aren't going to save us. The Schumann resonance isn't increasing at some magical rate that is going to propel us into another plane of consciousness. So what can we do to raise our vibration and help the planet? Well, let's start by defining vibration. I'm including a link to a good Scientific American article if you want to dig deep, but the generic physics definition is just that it's an oscillation of the parts of fluid or an elastic solid whose equilibrium has been disturbed, or of an electromagnetic wave. So basically, it's an oscillation in fluid, an elastic solid, or an electromagnetic wave. As we're mostly water, you can see how we might actually be affected by those oscillations. So if sounds can affect vibration, then that gets me thinking about what Jordan Peterson says, and that our words matter. Our words are vibration, and technically vibration is matter, no matter how infinitesimal that matter may be. We should afford these words the weight they deserve. We should choose them more carefully and stick to our word. Your word should mean something to yourself, no matter if anyone else knows it or gives you credit for it. You should hold yourself to a higher standard. I know that I'm certainly trying to do so every day. What does the map recommend to help raise your vibrations, though? It says to start eating a high-vibe diet and maintain a meditation practice in order to escape the matrix. That by practicing compassion, forgiveness, gratitude, and wisdom, you can continue raising your vibration daily. There's a site out there called HighVibeHealth.us that list out high and low vibrational foods. These high vibrational foods include pure, filtered water, no plastic bottles, organic, local, fresh fruits and vegetables, organic leafy greens, young plant shoots and sprouts, soaked organic seeds, nuts, herbs, and spices, raw chocolate, raw honey, raw maple syrup, unpasteurized fermented foods and beverages such as kimchi, sauerkraut, unsweetened yogurt, kombucha, and kefir, legumes, whole grains like brown rice, buckwheat, amaranth, and spelt, healthy cold-pressed organic oils like olive oil and coconut oil, herbal teas. And if you choose to consume animal products, it's recommended that you choose free-range, wild-caught, organic, hormone-free, antibiotic-free, and ethically sourced meat. I'm not going to go into the list of low vibrational foods, but let's just say the list is long and includes everything that you think would be on there, and probably a bit more. I can't say that any of that advice on the diet or the meditation practices sounds unhealthy for us. As to whether it raises our consciousness or not, it sounds like it would definitely make us more mindful. That would be helpful. Anyway, it's this same red pill period when we're supposed to unlearn what society has taught us and start researching the truth for ourselves. Honestly, that part isn't such a bad idea. We're not really taught things that are valuable for us in the school system at this point in time. Hardly any of my generation, and none of the one after me, are doing better than their parents were at their ages. The map seems to liken this to memers who are trying to spread the message via their memes versus trollers who just like to cause trouble and spread malice. Pun intended. But I do believe he means well in a lot of his trolling adventures, and bonus points for all those who know who I'm talking about. It's during this red pill period, though, that the dimensional veil was supposed to get increasingly thin as our manifestation accelerates into 5D. It's also when the Space Force was supposed to reveal the existence of secret space programs and extraterrestrials. While this was already supposed to happen, the closest we've gotten is the acknowledgments of a years-old leaked Tic Tac video, which is fascinating and more people should be talking about, but that's basically all we've had. Who knows, though? The COVID relief bill does say that the CIA has to release all that they know on Friday, June 25th of this year. I guess we'll have to stay tuned. Earth disasters were also supposed to increase or decrease in frequency after the flashes, but let's just all agree that the weather is still abnormal. In fact, we're in the middle of a weird snow ice storm here in Portland as I record this right now. Definitely been a weird weekend for Valentine's Day. It almost feels like we're the frogs in the pot of water as the climate is just changing gradually enough and we're all ignoring it. So eventually it comes to a boil. What can we do about this? Supposedly, global meditation will determine the strength of the flashes, as well as the positivity or negativity of the timeline that we end up on. So it says that we need to be loving and peaceful, advice we should all adhere to. MLK and Gandhi proved that nonviolence can work, we just have to be prepared to show it en masse. And it won't be without a cost. Next on the timeline, we actually have the coming decade, technically starting with last year in 2020 and going through 2030. It's this decade wherein we're supposed to be awakening world peace with compassion. This awakening is supposed to be a kind of mass ascension or shift into 5D consciousness. Full disclosure, is supposed to be provided, or was already supposed to have happened, depending on which part of the map you read. Then the nanite AI will be wiped out by the Flash. The reptilians and Draco alien factions will be expelled from our solar system. We'll most likely talk more about them on another episode, but just go with it. Then some of species of extraterrestrials are supposed to provide us with free energy, advanced knowledge, and a leap in healing abilities. After that, world peace would ensue. Earth is then to enter into the Galactic Federation, and let's actually stop right there and take a little tangent, shall we? Galactic Federation. Sounds very Star Trek, but it also sounds very familiar. Another link I included in the show notes will take you to an article from NBC News about the former Israeli space security chief, Chaim Eshed, and his claims that a Galactic Federation has been waiting for humans to reach a certain point in development in order to bring us to a true understanding of what space and spacecraft are. Mind you, this came out just this last year and years after the map has been around, but this was the term that the Israeli space chief used. This is legit news, people, albeit from an aging, random source, and I don't really know what his mental state is, and I don't know what his motivations are, but it was released just as his book came out. You can't really knock him for that, though. I mean, you would want all the publicity you could if you were releasing a book about any subject. That said, he also claims that there is an underground base on Mars, and that Trump is aware of all of this, but has been silenced. He says that if he had come up with what he was saying 5 years ago, he would have been hospitalized. He told the reporter that, "Today they are already talking differently. I have nothing to lose. I have received degrees and awards. I am respected in universities abroad. And with nothing to lose and a book coming out, why not speak up?" Who knows how much we can believe in what he says, but it is fascinating that he is saying something nonetheless. Okay, moving on. There are supposed to be sealed indictments and tribunals that are held when the good guys arrest the deep state, cabal, and Illuminati actors. They are supposed to put an end to the global financial slavery, maybe through some sort of universal basic income or something. True universal health care? Doesn't sound very Trump or Republican-y, but we'll see how that goes. Then, the secret space program, which was revealed at some point, will start to reveal off-planet bases, which the ETs will give to humanity. They will also provide us with anti-gravity technology, as well as free energy for all, when they release zero-point energy globally. This is when our oceans are cleaned up, pollution is eliminated, starvation ends, and peace reigns. These all sound like really cool things and goals maybe we could see in a far future or alternate reality, but I'm just not sure about the whole deep state cabal Illuminati secret space program aspects yet, you know? Anyway, as peace reigns on Earth, according to the map, things are going to get crazier and crazier. The peace actually leads the inner Earth civilizations to reveal themselves, and then eventually we obtain universal knowledge. Curious about the signs of ascension? Well, they include your third eye opening, the end time madness, and polarity extremes. Do they mean like the pole reversal kind of polarity? I didn't dig deeper on the subject right now. I'm going to move on. It's then that the collective consciousness is supposed to pull us towards some sort of oneness in a pre-telepathic way. As I've said before, Elon Musk is working hard and progressing quickly with Neuralink, and it's basically a quarter step removed from full-blown telepathy. So maybe it's this vision, this genius that he is somehow tapping into somewhere inside this collective consciousness. Maybe a bit like Nikola Tesla did. Tesla did claim that his inventions kind of came to him in completed form. He had visions that were so vivid he had trouble telling what was real. He could use his imagination on them to try and solve a problem and slowly work out a solution in front of himself. And that sounds like a superpower. But maybe that's also controlled psychosis? Either way, an amazing man. The last part of the Great Solar Flash map is for 2030 and beyond. In the optimal timeline future, this is when cosmic peace is gained from our ascension to oneness. Which ascension and which oneness? Because oneness with the source is supposed to lead to inevitable reincarnation, whereas ascension could lead to other dimensionality, but I digress. It's a big confusing mess when you start looking at that thing, and so you're basically left with your own interpretations all the time. That's what makes it easier to suck people in as well, because they're filling in the gaps themselves. It's in this future that we're supposed to be visited by Guardians of the Cosmos. Not to be confused with Guardians of the Galaxy, but that'd be pretty sweet too. Anyway, during this next decade, we're supposed to have visitation to and from the inner Earth, as well as beyond our solar system, as we perfect multi-dimensional travel throughout the cosmos. It's during this decade that we apparently put an end to all suffering, heal Mother Earth, and our so-called ascended abilities develop. What abilities are we to gain? How about telepathy and the ability to read minds, or transfer ideas without words? We already mentioned that with Neuralink, and they're trying to help us get there. Not such a far-fetched idea at this point. How about telekinesis, or the ability to move or manipulate objects with your mind? Might be a bit farther off, but I suppose I could at least believe there's potential there, right? It is all vibration. The last two, levitation and psychic healing, could be further offshoots of the same telekinetic ability. As in, moving yourself could eventually become levitation, and manipulating things at a cellular level could actually help heal them. After we gain these abilities and we take the next step, we escape samsara in our light body. It's this ascension, which it doesn't talk about how long we stay in that realm, but eventually from that ascended realm we reach enlightenment and return to the source, or the one. Once inside the source, we become omniscient, meaning we know everything. We become omnipotent, meaning all-powerful. And we become omnipresent, meaning we are everywhere at every time. One with all of time and space is most definitely a religious type vision, and one that we can mathematically see when we put the numbers together. Or just go look at that Taurus field post that I originally showed in there. Imagine that entire field as the one. Very interesting thought experiments, for me at least. Where does that leave us? Well, I think that leaves us deep down the rabbit hole this week, so maybe it's time for a little brain cleaner break. I hope you found this episode fun and that you join us back here next week on Awakened Exchanges. Thank you again for listening to me ramble through another episode on one of the most fascinating and confusing pieces of popular art in the last decade. I hope you enjoyed exploring this as much as I did, and that you're looking forward to the next segment as much as I am. I want to give a special thanks to all of our listeners. You are the reason I'm doing this. Please tell your friends about us, follow us on Spotify, subscribe on YouTube, or wherever else you're listening, and if you can, please leave us a 5-star review or a comment on Apple Podcasts. It really does help with visibility. You can also support us on Patreon or connect with us on the social media of your choice. We are at Awakened Exchanges on Facebook and Instagram, and at Awaken Exchanges on Twitter. Thanks again, and have a blessed day.